The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org. And New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at NYSUT.org. From Clean Path New York, working to support New York's economy and bring New Yorkers renewable energy while helping to create jobs. CleanPathNY.com for information.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, we're looking back at a very busy year in New York state politics. We had a governor resign, the state's first female governor took office, and the state attorney general mounted a short run for governor. Joining me with the sounds of the session is WAMC news director, and who else but Ian Pickus. Ian?
Alan, have you ever seen a year like this in New York state government?
No, I'm so old I don't remember. No. The truth is this has been some remarkable merry-go-round, and we're going to talk about it all today.
Well, if you think back to just about a year ago, then Governor Andrew Cuomo was really riding high. He was America's governor for a time during the pandemic. He had had his profile rise, and he gave a series of four State of the State addresses early in January, rather than the customary gathering of the lawmakers because of the pandemic. And his theme for the year was going to be the war against COVID-19.
The war room is fitting, because we are at war, a war that began early last year when we were ambushed by the COVID virus, and a war that continues today.
So what happened?
Well, it turns out that Andrew was accused of being a bad boy and having done some things with women which were most unattractive. And so things turned around and fast. But there's a backstory here, Ian, and I think that backstory is that the political class in New York was so offended by Cuomo. He was so mean to all of them, and proudly so. And that included not only, you know, the political hacks, but some of the most respected people in New York state politics. So it's almost as if somebody had snapped their fingers and said, okay, we got to get rid of the guy. We're going to get rid of the guy. We have these accusations from women that he acted inappropriately. We're going to ride that one. And it was almost as if everyone signed on. So that's what happened. They decided he's been so mean to us, so uncooperative, that we're gonna just make sure that he can't stand up after we're done with him.
Cuomo operated over his decade in Albany by establishing that sort of fear in everybody else that you just mentioned. And it seemed to work for quite a while.
No question. A bully is a bully. And he bullied people, and every one of them knew it. You know, if you look back in history, Ian, on all of the dictators who operated by fear, some of them survived until the very end. This called, I'm sure the political class would agree, for unified action. And they did it together. So there it is.
An early maybe chink in the armor came related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The governor and his top aides had worked feverishly, it seems, to limit the governor's exposure and his administration's exposure over the issue of the number of deaths of nursing home patients. This was a bugaboo throughout the pandemic response, where the data that we were getting from the state was different from what the federal authorities were sharing and also what people representing constituents were hearing. Here's a soundbite from February when the governor was forced to address the nursing home deaths after days of silence.
And now people are left with the thought of, did my loved one have to die? And that is a brutal, brutal question to pose to a person. And I want everyone to know, everything was done. Everything was done by the best minds in the best interest. And the last thing that we wanted to do, the last thing that I wanted to do, was to aggravate a terrible situation.
Throughout the term of Governor Andrew Cuomo, you talked a lot about character. How does that apply here?
Well, Ian, as I have said so many times, and so many psychiatrists and psychologists have said, character is set by the time you're 4 years old, very Freudian principle, and it stays with you all your life. You know, he really was a guy who had a very rough side to him. I remember once, it comes up in my mind, that I saw Mario on the TV, and he had his hand on Andrew's face and said, "Andrew is a good boy." Well, if there's one thing Andrew was not, it was a good boy. Andrew was a guy who was rough and thought that the way that you got ahead in the world is to be rough and to be tough. And there is nobody in organized politics in New York State who was in the know who didn't know that much about him. So, yeah, he was a tough guy, and I gave him the nickname very early, as you will remember, Andrew Tough Guy. Because that's what he was. He ruled by fear. He ruled by intimidation. And in the end, he went one step too far. Now, as far as the nursing homes were concerned, he would have gotten away with that if he had not been, in my mind, that mean to so many people. But they saw it, and they took advantage of it, and they said, anything we can do to bring this guy down, we're going to do. Now, was he wrong on the nursing homes? From what I'm seeing, I have no doubt that he was. But I don't think it would have risen to the level of impeachment, which is where we were going with this thing, under other circumstances.
Governor Cuomo, and you pressed him on this during one of your interviews on this very show, about how much he was being paid for his COVID-19 memoir. As we speak, Jay Cope, the Joint Commission on Public Ethics, is trying to claw back the $5.1 million it previously allowed Andrew Cuomo to receive for that book. And maybe that was a turning point in terms of his COVID management and the issue of nursing home deaths. You know, during the fog of war in the early days of 2020, the governor was seen as this leading figure during the pandemic. But eventually, as we've later learned, he published a book and was using government staffers to help work on it during work time, which he denies.
Well, certainly that was the allegation, that he had used people who worked for him to help him with the book. He may have denied it, Ian, but it stuck. Do I think that he's going to give back the $5 million? No, I do not. And sometimes when you've beaten up a bully, and you hit too hard and once too often, the concept of public sentiment may be changed. I think on the book thing, most people are shrugging and saying, look, I'll tell you who's got punished, the publisher, because that book isn't going anywhere. That's for sure.
Now it's pulped. Well, let's go ahead to March. You mentioned earlier the allegations of sexual misconduct against the governor. By March 3rd, the leaders of the state Senate and Assembly had called for his resignation.
I now understand that I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable. It was unintentional, and I truly and deeply apologize for it. I feel awful about it. And frankly, I am embarrassed by it. And that's not easy to say.
And this set off many months of kind of a strange dance with the governor and the attorney general's office, because Governor Cuomo said that they would seek an independent review of his actions. The attorney general eventually stepped in to do that review, and that ended up being the beginning of the end for Andrew Cuomo. But there were several months in between those two points where he was still governor and doing COVID briefings and going around the state while waiting for this other shoe to drop.
And maybe the beginning of the end for the attorney general, who clearly positioned herself to be a gubernatorial candidate. It's interesting because Kathy Hochul, who was the lieutenant governor who took over for Cuomo, hasn't received really a bad word from the governor. But Tish James, who, of course, was the attorney general, is the attorney general, received most of his anger.
Including in July, when he began laying the groundwork to accuse the AG of bias in the investigation.
I have concerns as to the independence of the reviewers. That's what I've said. And is politics, is this all happening in a political system? Yes, that is undeniable.
Now, a few days after that, things got very interesting here in Albany County, where we're speaking. The county sheriff suddenly was involved in probing one claim of misconduct against Andrew Cuomo made by a former staffer who claims that Cuomo groped her in the executive mansion in December of 2020.
I can tell you that attorney Brian Primo and his client did, in fact, come in. She filed a formal report alleging criminal conduct against the governor. The conduct was sexual in nature. The meeting at that point commences the investigative process for the Albany County Sheriff's Office. The meeting was not lengthy. The meeting was more about explaining the process of the criminal justice system and what to expect going forth. The meeting was approximately 1 hour long, and the victim and the attorney then departed our headquarters station. I cannot go into any detail from there. I can tell you that we've reached out to the Attorney General's office and their private counsel assigned, requesting investigative material that will aid us in going forward, and that's where we are today.
Now, Alan, in the next clip we'll play, we'll listen to Cuomo outlining his plans to resign. Why did Governor Cuomo ultimately have to bow out, given the headwinds he was facing?
Well, Ian, it's very simple. They were going to impeach him. They had the votes. They, even though many legislators are loath to take positions which are going to get them into trouble, they were all signed on. And woe be the person who didn't understand that, that if they had bucked the crowd on this, they were going to get into a lot of trouble. So they had the votes to impeach him. He's a realist. He knew they had the votes to impeach him. And he said, okay, I'll resign. The last thing that guy wanted was to be impeached, that's for sure.
Now, this is a different dynamic than what we saw with outgoing President Trump, who was impeached by a Democratic-run Congress as sure. A Republican president. Things had to be pretty bad in New York State for the Assembly and the Senate, which are run by supermajorities of Democrats, to finally say to Cuomo, you got to go.
Well, that's right. You see, Cuomo, in my mind, and what do I know? I've talked to him many times, of course, and on our air and other places. But Cuomo was a guy who knew when the time to go was there. He is, as I've said, a political realist among every other thing. Do I think he's done, by the way, in politics? No, I do not. I think we will see Andrew Cuomo again. Don't know exactly when, but I think we will see him again. I remember one time I was talking to one of his best friends, Sandy Frusher, at the time, and Cuomo had gotten into a lot of trouble with his scandal over his marriage and busting up at the time. And Frusher said to me, I hope you don't think he's done, because he's not done. And boy, was he right. He was at a low point then. He's at a low point now.
Here's how he explained it to the voters of New York State when he announced that 2 weeks from August 10th, he would leave and let Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul take the reins.
This is one of the most challenging times for government in a generation. Government really needs to function today. Government needs to perform. It is a matter of life and death, government operations. And wasting energy on distractions is the last thing that state government should be doing. And I cannot be the cause of that. New York tough means New York loving. And I love New York, and I love you. And everything I have ever done has been motivated by that love. And I would never want to be unhelpful in any way. And I think that given the circumstances, the best way I can help now is if I step aside and let government get back to governing. And therefore, that's what I'll do. Because I work for you. And doing the right thing is doing the right thing for you. Because as we say, it's not about me, it's about we. Kathy Hochul, my lieutenant governor, is smart and competent. This transition must be seamless. We have a lot going on. I'm very worried about the Delta variant, and so should you be. But she can come up to speed quickly, and my resignation will be effective in 14 days.
And that led to New York State's first female governor in its very long history. Governor Hochul tried to say that she'd never been close with Andrew Cuomo, and that seems to be the case.
Well, yes. I was just about to say that after I heard this clip. He had actually asked her, at one point we are told, to step aside and not to run as lieutenant governor with him. So they were not the closest of friends. He needed her. He was, a downstate Democrat, as all Democratic leaders have been up till now. She was from the Buffalo area. That means that she was breaking the mold. However, she is a woman, and that is something that was coming in New York state politics. We know that. I believe, by the way, that if Cuomo had not resigned, he would be out, and that Tish James would have been the governor. But, when you got a lieutenant governor, that means you're assistant governor. And that means that at some point, if somebody leaves, you take over. Who knew who Harry Truman was when he became the president of the United States? Nobody. He didn't even know that the atomic bomb had been developed. So this is a real problem for Governor Cuomo. As I said before, he has been kind to Hochul. Maybe because Hochul, if they ever need it, would be somebody who might have to pardon him for something. But Hochul is in good. But Tish James, the person who issued that report, critical report on him, she really is in the Cuomo doghouse.
And Hochul, for her part, she hit the ground running. She promised a new era in government. And she also promised that she would seek a full 4-year term next year.
I want people to believe in their government again. It's important to me that people have faith. Our strength comes from the faith and the confidence of the people who put us in these offices.
You've seen other quote-unquote accidental governors over the years. We saw Jane Swift in Massachusetts. We saw David Paterson in New York not long ago. Is she doing what she needs to do, in your opinion, to get on the track to be a duly elected 4-year governor rather than someone who's seen as, an interloper?
You know, Ian, she has a lot going for her. Number one, she is a woman. Number two, she does come from a part of the state which has long been left out in the cold when it comes to major leadership. But I think the thing that you have to acknowledge is that she is doing a competent job. And in order to understand what I'm talking about here, people were just sick and tired of the immense amount of strumpfendrum that there was over Cuomo. They were ready for a little relaxation. And she is giving the people that.
I just got in from Seneca Falls. Why did I go to Seneca Falls? Well, first of all, their rally was before yours. Okay, so that's nothing personal here. I went there because I needed to channel the spirit of those brave, audacious women who 173 years ago demanded the rights to control their own bodies. They were tired of being the property of men. They stood up, they fought, and many of them did not live long enough to see the rights that they believed in and fought for in Seneca Falls at that gathering. But we are all beneficiaries of that because they had courage and stood up.
Does she have an absolute lock on winning the governorship when she runs in a primary? I don't know about that. I do know that there will be other people in there. We are now hearing that de Blasio, the mayor of New York, in my estimation, for whatever it's worth, he's no shot of a chance, not a shadow. But he's going to be in there. There will be other people in there. You'll have Congress people and others who are going to run in that primary, and anything could happen. As far as Kathy Hochul is concerned, I have called her competent. Now, that's very interesting. One of her strongest backers from an industry group in New York. And by the way, make no mistake about it, industry, sort of progressive Republicans and others are backing Hochul. I had one call in which this woman said to me, "You use the word competent. That's really a damning phrase. You should call her, you should have said something like excellent." Well, I don't think she's doing an excellent job. I don't think she's turning people on to the point where they're saying this is an inspirational leader. I think she's doing a competent job. And I don't think anybody should have any problems with my saying that.
if looked for a time like there might be a heavyweight battle in the primary next year. And Cuomo's inner circle had been questioning whether Attorney General Tish James would use the report into Cuomo's allegations against Cuomo as a springboard to run for governor. And in fact, right as the county sheriff was announcing a criminal charge against former Governor Andrew Cuomo, in a very suspicious piece of timing, or a curious piece of timing, Attorney General Tish James became gubernatorial candidate Tish James.
I've spent my career guided by a simple principle: stand up to the powerful on behalf of the vulnerable.
And yet, 6 weeks later, she was out. What happened?
She looked at the polls. The polls said that the people were thinking, we've had enough. She looked at the polls, and she knew that she wasn't going to beat Hochul. People were ready for a Hochul-like, genteel government now. Now, Tish James has a lot going for her. She's of color. She's had a very, very strong record as Attorney General in New York. Attorney generals in New York tend to take over for governors when they fall. We know that with Spitzer. We know that with Andrew Cuomo when he took over. It was just the circumstances. As I have said before, if in fact Cuomo hadn't been forced out and to resign, I believe Tish James would have been the next governor of New York.
I've heard you talk a lot over the years about how you might only get the one chance at the brass ring.
Yeah. Well, she could have done it. In other words, if Tish James had said, I don't care what the polls are looking like right now, there's a huge difference in time between now and when we have to vote in a primary, I'm going to go for it. But you can just put yourself into her head and say, if I do that, then I can't be Attorney General anymore. And if I can't be Attorney General anymore, what am I? Well, in fact, in the world of politics, you haven't got a job. So that's what I'm thinking. It came out okay for Hochul. We'll see what the primary brings. And we'll also see how she continues to rule. This is a very hard job, and she may make some mistakes.
I want to, Alan, play one more soundbite before we run out of time. On this show, I think last week, you spoke with New York State Assemblyman Richard Gottfried, who joined the State Assembly at age 23 and is now announced in his mid-70s he'll be leaving. He's the longest-serving state lawmaker in New York history, and he played a big role in state politics last year as chair of the Assembly Health Committee, where he went toe-to-toe with Health Commissioner Howard Zucker, who's now been replaced by Hochul's appointee, Dr. Mary Bassett. And here's what he had to say about the fall of Health Commissioner Dr. Howard Zucker.
I won't say it was expected, but it wasn't a surprise. Certainly from the very start, Governor Hochul made it clear that she would be, re-examining all the people in the administration to determine who stays, who goes. There was widespread speculation that Dr. Zucker would be leaving.
What's your thought on Assemblyman Richard Gottfried, who will be hanging it up a year from now?
Well, I knew Gottfried when he was a leader of a group called the Kids on the west side of Manhattan, and they were taking over political clubs, and they were showing no mercy. They were tough. He admitted it in my interview with him. He came to the legislature. He had been seen as a sort of a bomb-throwing semi-revolutionary. He gets to the Assembly, and he falls in love with the way in which the stairways to power work in the legislature. And he's done very well. I've come to really admire the guy. He decided he was going to take that health committee. He was going to be the chairman of the health committee. And he's done some remarkable things for children and for adults and other people. You got to give him a lot of credit.
Let's look ahead to 2022. We haven't talked a lot on this show about the Republicans, but it looks like Congressman Lee Zeldin is likely to be the Republican candidate for governor. There are others who are in the primary field. Does he have any shot to win?
Have I ever been wrong? Lots of time. I think that Zeldin has the chances of warm spit of winning. Look, here's a Trumper in Blue State, New York. He's a Trumper. I don't understand why the Republicans nominated him or are going to nominate him. I think he's a loser.
Not since 2002 have Republicans won a statewide election of any sort in New York State, going all the way back to George Pataki's last victory as governor. How come?
They may be thinking now's the time. Andrews, you know, hasn't been impeached, but he was thrown out. Let's face it. They think this is it. But they, frankly, Ian, they had decided he was going to be their nominee before the Andrew stuff had actually happened. I think it may be that they're a little scared of Trump and his long hand reaching into New York state politics. And that's why they nominated him. It makes no sense if you're really trying to win.
In an alternate universe, and it almost happened, Donald Trump thought about running for governor of New York before he mounted his successful bid for president. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Look, a lot of people had some very interesting thoughts about Donald Trump. They thought he was, unique. They thought he was not really a politician. Let's try it. They tried it. And boy, was so many people sorry. So I think if he had run for governor of New York, the result might have happened. Let's face it. You'll remember a guy named George Pataki not only beat Mario Cuomo, but then he won three times. So it's really, you never know, because every once in a while, including from my state of Massachusetts, you elect a Republican governor because you're sick of what the Democrats are doing.
Okay, Governor Hochul will be giving a state of the state, her first as governor in the early going of the 2022 legislative session. What do you expect to hear from Governor Hochul?
Same old, same old. We'll hear about kids and how she's all for them. And we'll hear about balancing the budget, which she is going to do, by the way. And she's taking over in a very good year when there's some surplus funds. So she'll ride on that one, and she'll basically give the people of New York a progressive agenda or semi-progressive agenda, which will keep the middle of the roaders happy. We're out of time. I'm Alan Chartok, and we've been looking back at 2021 with WAMC's excellent news director, Ian Pickus. Thanks for being with us, Ian, and Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to everybody else out there.